scripture reading is from Colossians 1, 9 to 20, and verses 24 to 27. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We constantly ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, in things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to the Christ's afflictions, for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the word of the Lord.
What we're about today is a bit of learning. As a teaching elder of the church, for that is the official title that we are given, the truth be told that I cannot teach you anything. As I said earlier, in Jesus' day, the teacher, the rabbi, he would sit in the middle of the Sabbath community and he would remind the faith community what they were about. A body of people who were called on a journey to a somewhat nebulous but glorious end. Trusting, walking, and learning. And if you know anything about Jewish history and recent Jewish history, you'll know what a torturous road that has been. So in the church, we try to set out various concepts and hopefully truths, but your task is to hear and hopefully take these truths as your own, your beliefs, your way of life. And Jesus said, follow me. So my point is, I cannot teach you. You must be willing to learn. Now you wouldn't be here if you were not willing to learn. But it's one thing to present information to people, and we are bombarded, as you well know, with all kinds of sometimes very bad information. But for we who are the people of faith, we've got to learn to be critical. And by that, that does not mean I don't like the color of that guy's t-shirt. It means we have to be willing to analyze and to decide what is best and foremost. And those are the things and values that I'm going to choose to make part of who and what I am. So remember, criticism is a very good thing. And it's not intended to tear down, but it's designed to equip us for the journey. Now, we read that passage, and Suzanne, can we still have that passage up, please? Because as a preacher, I don't know whether you noticed it, but there were some parts of that passage that were really kind of exciting, the scripture. If it's there, You see, when a minister or priest, he has to do the sermon, it gets tiring doing this day in and day out, you know, 52 or 60 times a year and over a whole lifetime. So you look for ways to cheat. So when we read this passage, and it's Paul, he's talking to the church, by the way. What was the name of the church?
Colossians.
Oh, yes, those guys. They were having a major problem with understanding what is true and what isn't true. As a matter of fact, some of them believed and said, well, anything you believe, it's okay. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, yeah. And then there was another bunch that said, really, it's the secret stuff that we know, that you don't know, and we want to keep it that way. They were called Gnostics. Major problem. But anyway, this is what he's talking to them, and he says, he really wants God, up there at the top there, verse 9, that God will fill you all with the knowledge of his will through wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So that why? What's the whole point? What's it say? Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him and bearing fruit. Now here's where the minister's cheating comes in, okay? Verse 11, notice the verbs that we've got here. One, being strengthened with all power. Next page, Suzanne. And giving joyful thanks to the Father. That's why I had you do that little thing at the front, just to get you ready for that, see? Who has qualified us to be this. And he has rescued us, and because we are worshiping the one who is the image of the invisible God. Next screen. Now look at the verbs. All the verbs that are in here, and carry on, read them through, Suzanne, because here's where it's coming. Okay? More? I hope it's here. This commission. I better get my notes. I'm working from Phillips. He talks about living life worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in all aspects. And then the verbs that and this is what I'm wanting to focus on, bearing fruit, being strengthened, giving thanks. And then he says, you do all those things and you will be coming to understand what God is trying to do for and through you. And as I was looking at this scripture and I was thinking, well, it's going to be, you know, a crowd here that is not our usual overwhelming crowd. And so I'm going to have some freedom. And Emery's not here, so he won't know what I did. So I'm going to do it. I thought, how many of you are golfers? Three of you. Some of you more than that. Well, I'll just make an explanation of this very quickly. Golf is a very simple game because it utilizes very simple concepts of physics. The intent of golf is to take a golf ball like that. Boy, that floor. I think it's a good golf ball. Take a golf ball, a round spherical object, and then to apply sufficient force to it, at approximately 110 degrees. In order to move that inanimate object to the speed of 240 miles an hour. You with me? So it's going to go from zero to 240 miles an hour. That's if you're a good golfer. Now me, when I hit it with my best shot, I think I've got it up to 73 miles an hour. But I'm working on it, okay? So, it's a simple concept. You just put the tee on the ground and then you do what you're supposed to do. But the problem is that there's a lot of intervening variables. The man or the woman, boy or girl who's holding the club. All kinds of other stuff. But there are some basic things you have to keep in mind. So in order to demonstrate some of this stuff, I thought, well, what I'll do is I've got time and you're in no hurry. I'll just try to do this like I would be doing this ordinarily. Just give me a minute here. I haven't done this for a while, so if I'm a little disorganized, bear with me. Got my golf club. And I got my Mike Weir head. Remember him? I'm going to get a Brooke Henderson one, but I don't know how to get one. I think I need a volunteer. Is there anyone here that wants to help me with this thing? Someone who, you're saying no? Barb? Come on, will Dale let you do that? Yay, Barb. Okay, now Barb, I know this is going to be awkward, but I want you to lay on the ground. And I know that you're young and supple, but I even got you something to lay on. So would you just kind of stretch out on there? Yeah, that's basically it. Yep. Now, I've got to get my tea. Barb says she has life insurance, but you've also got a husband who loves you a lot. So I'm going to take this tea and this, and I'm going to put it in Barb's teeth. Just hang on. Okay, Barb, can you help me here?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. That's good. How's that feel? Hang on. Can I take it back? You got to move further along because I don't have room to swing here properly. Yeah, keep going. Okay. Don't lose the ball. Okay. Now, Barb, it's going to be hard for you to talk, but if the answer is yes, raise your... Yeah, I think that should stay good. Yeah, don't move. Are you okay, Barb? Raise your right hand and say yes. Right hand? Good. That's good. If it's not, left hand. Okay, that's good. Okay. Now, the first thing you have to know about golf is it all begins with your stance. It all begins with your stance. You know, if you don't have a proper stance, I'm told the ball's got to be a certain place, you know, where you all, like, I've read all the videos, seen them. Doesn't help me much, but I've tried. Your stance determines everything else that will happen in terms of your golf game. And it's funny, but you know, that's what happens in our faith stance. If you don't have a decent stance or a decent foundation, nothing else that you do in your life journey will ever work. Years ago, when we were in Costa Rica, we had a couple of fairly strong earthquakes. I'd never had that before. Have you ever been in an earthquake? Some of you have. The ground shakes under your feet, and your brain says, the ground under your feet should never shake. The ground is solid. Everybody knows that. And your brain goes into hyperspasm. I got nauseous. I felt literally sick because I'm doing this. Are you okay, Barb? Okay. And I thought, this is awful because you need a foundation. The Bible says we only have one foundation. Give me a verse or two that you think might work for a Christian for a foundation. Anything that comes to mind? Any songs? The church. Very good. I don't want the whole song, just the verse. That'd be good. Yeah, I'll pay you later, by the way. That was good. You know, there's no other foundation that you can have except that is Jesus, that of Jesus Christ. The foundations we've always been aware of. And we built those ideas of foundations into what we call creeds. I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father who created heaven and earth. I believe. That's your foundation. If you give up your foundation, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to... Are you worried? Yeah. Dale, are you worried? So, you've got to have a good foundation. There's so many other things you've got to know how to do. When I golf, there's so many things I'm trying to remember that I kind of forget. But one of the major things you've got to want to remember to do is I want to play golf. I really want to play golf. And it's like that in your faith journey. Do you really want to follow Jesus? Really? Or is it just something you want to do in your spare time when nothing else is going on? Or it's convenient? Or my parents made me come, so I better go? Or is this something that you really, really want to do? Because that's where it all starts. So once you've got that commitment to do it, and you start setting up your stance, and you think, I better have some equipment, because what kind of equipment am I going to have here? Well, I've got a TaylorMade. Pretty good, eh? Pretty good, yeah. I can't do a thing with it, but it's a TaylorMade club. But anyway, and it's a good club. And God gives us good equipment, by the way. God gives us good equipment. What kind of equipment does God give to us? Just off the top of your head. God's Word. Right. The Word. Okay? It's a good one. That's about number three down, but anyway, that's good. The Holy Spirit. Somebody said the Holy Spirit. Yep. The church. You guys, you're part of God's equipment. Right? That's right. Okay, so He gives us all this good equipment. One of the things that's so important in golf is having the right grip. They tell me the right grip is you should see about four or five knuckles over the top. Well, you see, I don't have to worry about gripping in the church because I know who's holding on to me. And I'll tell you what, I've been in some situations where if I didn't believe that God was holding me, I would have been done. I've been shot at. I've been threatened with death by gangsters. I've had dead bodies at the bottom of my street. I was bounced out of bed by an Iraqi scud back in the Gulf War. I've been in situations just like you, close to all kinds of danger. But regardless of what you go through, you say, Lord, at the bottom line is, I'm in your hands. Lord, if I can't depend on that, I can't depend on anything. And if there's one thing I can promise you, you can depend on God's grip in your life. But you know, the thing about a golf grip, I'm just learning this. I'm just a beginner. I've been doing this since I was 14, and I figure someday I'm going to know how to do it. They tell me you should hold the golf club very lightly. You start gripping up, and you see what it's doing to my arms and to my shoulders? You've got to have a nice, relaxed grip. And God's like that with us. He doesn't put his hands around your neck and say, don't move or I'll throttle you. He says, child of mine, he says, I'm here to be with you. But if you choose to work your way out of my grip, there's going to be trouble. Stay in the arms, the loving hands of the Father. So you've got a stance. Are you with me, Barb? Is that okay? Your jaw must be getting sore, is it? Okay. Now, what I would like to do, let's see, I've done the grip, I've done the stance, I've done the foundation. Yeah, I think I'm just about ready for the swing. What I'd like to do is hit this golf ball, but I need someone who can help me. Well, is there a volunteer? Okay, hold it up a little higher. Okay, that's about where I want it. Hold it right, just above your face. Okay, now, what I'd like to do, are you still with me, Barb? Okay. Are you worried? Mm-hmm. I'm worried. What I'd like to do, I won't use a full swing. I'll just use a nice, like it's a little chip shot, and I'll have it come upward. We should have practiced this more. Now I'm really worried, Barb. Let me think. How can I do this? Well, you know, there's lots of times in life where you get to situations where you have to look at it and say, I better not do it. Now, thank you, Barbara. You are a champ. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you wander down a trail or got involved with something or somebody or something, and all of a sudden you see the canyon getting very narrow and you're seeing trouble down the track? You ever been in there? That's a good time to say, where's reverse on this machine? This is not a good idea. That's kind of, I think, part of the work of the Spirit in our lives. Would you hold that for me, Barb? We get into situations, and the Holy Spirit will help us if we'll listen. Because that's one of the wonderful things about us being the children of God. One of the things that's kept me really, really focused through the years is as I understand the scripture, when God makes man, he puts his thumbprint on our lives. God's seal of ownership and says, you belong to me. Nothing can take you out of my hands except what? What? Come on, Mike, you know the answer. I go to you. Well, nothing. No, not quite nothing. If that were so, it would be a lot better. There is maybe just one thing. God says, I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm going to put my thumbprint in your lie, in your life, and then I'm going to give you the ability to choose good or evil, right or wrong. Choose the path of following Jesus or doing your own thing. That's the choice. And we make those choices all the time, and we have to remake those choices. And we have to rethink how we're making those choices. We have to review our foundation and say, Lord, remind me of my foundation. Remind me of who I am. Remember and remind me who you are. Remember what I am called to do and to be. And remind me always that I am to please you in every good thing that I can do. You guys are a wonderful group of people. And you continue to serve the Lord in all kinds of wonderful ways. Be encouraged. Keep on doing the good stuff. Because you will never know the impact that you have had on someone's lives just with who and what you are. You are the people of God. Thanks be to God. We are called to participate in Heaven's Open. Do you like that one? Scottish Open, Irish. Heaven's open. And we look for a kingdom and a city that is not made with human hands. And a call that's made by the Father who says someday, someday. Because I want to tell you folks, I'm just about done here. I want to tell you that as a minister of the church, and I've been ordained well over half a century, there have been many times when I've shaken my fist in the face of God and said, what the hell is going on here? I've had people die. I've had people fade away. I've had people killed in awful ways and taken. And I don't understand that stuff. And if it was my call, it would never happen. I am a lover of history. And so I look back at our history and I see a world of awfulness, of epidemics, of idiotic Christian crusades that killed more people than they ever saved. Of epidemics, of invasions. And you know what I'm talking about. And I'm thinking, how can a God of love allow all that stuff? And then I'm reminded, and it came up in a scripture that we had just a week or two ago here in the church, that we don't know the things of God. We don't have the knowledge. And all I can say is it's a very good thing that Dave wasn't in control of things during the Second World War. Because I would have made some bad, bad decisions. It's a good thing that I wasn't in charge of some of the things that happened around me. Or I tell you what, the sword of vengeance would have been out pretty quick. You see, God doesn't give us that option. He says, you are my children. You're going to live in a fearful world. You're going to live in a world that's fallen. But I will always, always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because, Lord, you are with us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time to be together. Thank you for these good people. Lord, a special blessing on Dale and Barb and, and Barb and her teaching career and her willingness to be a part of stuff like this. Thank you. We ask your continued blessing and always, Lord, we remember to pray for Emery and give him new strength and zeal and commitment. And on us we pray in Christ's name. Amen.